God bless you. God bless you indeed. It's good to have you all here today. I'm glad you didn't let the rain keep you from coming. And thank the Lord for those that are saints that just have been here in such a great way of support. God bless you. But more than that, I thank God that we get fed here. How many have gotten fed in this house? I believe that God really speaks to our heart and helps us and ministers to us. Today, I would like to ask for all the husbands to stand for a moment, because I'm going to be ministering somewhat to the husbands, to everybody, but to husbands in particular at the beginning, and the message will end different than it begins. And so Pastor Carr wasn't here, and so he was in his office, and so I thought I would have to do the counseling for married couples today. But God bless you. May be seated. And again, remember that the message doesn't end as it begins. I don't think very many pastors would use this passage to begin a message. It's found in Proverbs chapter 21 and looking at verse 9. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Not, no husband saying amen. And that shows you got wisdom. Looking at the Living Bible, and I don't believe that this is entirely perfect, but it says, it is better to live in the corner of an attic than with a crabby woman in a lovely house. It is better to live in the corner of an attic than with a crabby woman in a lovely home. What I want to say today, that if you're going to have God guide you, you have to read the entire book. You have to understand that you have to go into all that God is saying. Don't find a passage of scripture that you resonate with. Study God's word. And allow God's word to take your first thought and move it into a sense of perfection. May God help us in that. I want to turn to a passage of scripture that I appreciate and one that causes me to be just a little bit concerned. And it's found in Psalms 18. And we look at verse 31. And these verses are so precious through verse 36. David the psalmist is saying, "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great." And that is a wonderful passage. You stoop down to make me great. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is willing to stoop down to make us great? Hallelujah. Thank God for that. You broaden the path beneath me, so that my ankles do not turn. I love those verses. The next verses show that David, in all of his love for God, in our understanding and revelation from Jesus, we would find that he yet was not perfectly tuned. I want to tell you that God still needs to do a work in all of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to still lead us. These verses that he spoke speaks about adoration for God, commitment to God, faith in God, belief in God. But if you read the next verses, you find that he's a human that still needs to hear more than what God has to say. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight. and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust. Borne on the wind, I poured them out like mud in the streets. As you read this passage of Scripture, you understand that David was in the midst of a time when he was being challenged by enemies, and there were times that he had to be able to defend. But there's one thing that we have to understand. We need God to give us a perfect heart. And there is something in his describing of his enjoyment almost of the destruction of his enemies that leaves something to be desired. It is because of this passage that I'm able to appreciate when I go to the New Testament and look at what God has to say. And there's two passages that I want to bring you to. And looking at the New Testament, we find that Jesus, speaking in chapter 5 of Matthew, says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." This was a thought that was among people. You ought to love those that are close to you. You ought to know your enemy and hate him. But Jesus said, "But I say unto you." You have to understand that Jesus rises above anything of preconceived thought. It is what Jesus has in this moment that is going to perfect you and perfect your moment. "I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than they?" Others, "Do not even the publicans also? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." When you understand what God is saying, you begin to see that so often we can love the Lord and still have a blind spot. But the way to get rid of your blind spot is to hear from Jesus. I want you to understand that God is wanting to say something greater than even our preconceived thought that we have, that we believe is so accurate. And David did not believe he was one iota off the target. He believed that God was there to help him to run after his enemies and to destroy them. And he felt good about destroying them. But when we come to Jesus, we find that Jesus is saying something. "I come to give you a new commandment. I come to give you a new commandment." And how can it be a new commandment? It is because we haven't understood the commandment that has already been given, even in the Old Testament. But it's so easy to think we got the answer when we really are still missing part of what God is saying. We need God's help. How many know that today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's another passage that I want you to see in St. John chapter 14 and verse 12, looking at rather 13:34, excuse me for that. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It is so hard for us to see that this is a new commandment. But what is Jesus saying? "I am taking what you think you know and bringing it to perfection." I'm taking what you think you understand and taking it to another level. I'm saying to you that I see it in a way that is higher than you see it. And God, in this hour when I think I'm right on target, take me back, dear God, to you through the power of the Holy Spirit and show me that if David could be a little bit off balance, cannot I be a little bit off balance? But if I am, don't you want to perfect me? Perfect what concerns me. Take me, dear God, to a new level in thee. Help me, dear God, to understand that if I'm going to be blessed, I've got to read the whole book. If I'm going to be blessed, I've got to come to he who is Jesus the Lord. I've got to hear it from him. Lord, in this moment, take my life and shape it all over again. When I think I've come so far, I still got further to go. When I think I'm victorious, I still got more that needs to be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In this verse, a new commandment I give unto you. You would say, how can it be a new commandment? Because he's saying it on a level that wasn't understood by saints even before this time. There was a sense in that moment, love your neighbor, love those that are close to you, love your family, love those people that are your brothers, love those that are your sisters. But if he's an enemy, God will give you power to destroy. But Jesus says in that moment, no, I want to teach you what you think you know is not all that I have for you today. I want to bring you to the place of reshaping your vision. I want to bring you to the place of reshaping your spiritual concepts. I want to transform you by the renewing of your mind. I want to bring you to the place of saying school isn't over until you've come into my classroom. School isn't over until you hear the master. And thank God for David, but David sees through a glass darkly, and every human being sees through a glass darkly, but Jesus Christ. No man sees clearly but Jesus. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And even David sees through a glass darkly. Paul said, I withstood Peter face to face. I want to tell you, Peter was a great saint. But Peter also missed the mark. Because he intended to? No, he didn't see it as such. Paul said, I withstood him to his face. What does that tell me? That how great you are doesn't keep you from going back to the book and coming into the moment of the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I think I know what I know. And I think it's a revelation. And surely David thought he had a revelation that God gave him power to make the enemy no more than dust. And when they cried out for mercy, said, you don't get any mercy because you're an enemy of that which is good. And I grind you to powder, and I'm glad to be able to do it. And a proverb that is understood because people nod to it is truth. It's better to live in an attic than with a quarrelsome wife. It really wasn't that bad. It says on the roof, and the roof was a pretty nice place, actually. It just was, you know, it wasn't like the main house, but it was a pretty nice place up there. And the scripture says there's times just give her the rest and get out of there. But what does the scripture say about the relationship with a wife? You have to go to what God is saying, read the entire book. And looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wives. Don't just pay her when she does what's right. Don't just reward her when she's been on target. but read the whole book. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's not a question whether it's truth. In some cases, I believe that a person just cannot handle somebody who is so horribly out of balance. And perhaps it could fit in a situation of a mind that is so intensely off balance. To make a little distance wouldn't be the most unwise thing to do. But you have to be careful what you resonate with. Which scripture is the one that is your favorite? Is it going to be, I'm going to find the attic if I have to keep this up? Or is it going to be, God, help me to love my wife as you love the church? And help me, dear God, to be able to understand that this relationship is a relationship to God that is deeper than what is simply cause and effect. Help me, dear God, to find that out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Bring me to a place of perfection. I want to say to all of us today that if we're going to go very far in God, then we're going to have to understand some preconceived thoughts and balances are going to have to be brought to refinement. Thank God for His Word. Get into the Scriptures. Thank God for the Word. Don't just find a Scripture that you can use in an argument. Don't just find a Scripture that you can prove a point. Find a Scripture that makes you stop a moment and take inventory and say, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's not nobody else. It's me first. And yes, they have their problem because all have. But I know in this moment, dear God, that if I'm going to grow, I've got to go back to the Word until the Word hurts me a little bit, until the Word challenges me a little bit, until the Word brings a question into my mind. I don't want the Word to help me to prove an argument. I want the Word to help me in this moment to be shaped in a new moment in a way that is going to help me to be more pleasing in your eyes. I want to be your child, God, yielding to you in spirit and in truth. David is a precious man. And yet if we would look at the statement that he made in that chapter, we would say, David, you better be careful there. Because you don't want to enjoy destroying anybody. Not even your enemy. Not even the person that needs somehow to be contained. And there's those that have to go to prison. There's those that have to be incarcerated. There's those that have to be brought into a struggle. But you have to know, God, some way, somehow, deliver him from the power of the devil. I don't want to see him hurt somebody else. But God, help me not to celebrate anybody who's wronged me. Help me not to celebrate anybody who's done me wrong. God, I too stand in this hour needing your mercy, your kindness, and your grace, and I ask God that you would deliver me from being the person who goes out to be the avenger. Help me to know in this moment, dear God, that it is by grace that we're saved, not of works that men should boast. It's God's gift that is given us that we have not earned. The question is not who's wrong in a marriage. The question is, what can we do to make a change? The question isn't who's at fault. The question is, what can we do to bring forth what God has said is the greatest of all quest? By this shall you know that you are my disciples, in that ye have love one toward another. And if you think, well, you know, I can't love sinners, I want to tell you it's as hard to love Christians as sinners. I don't find no difference as far as the strength that it takes. Christians can get you just as upset. Christians can cause you to be just as frustrated. Christians can cause you to be just as much off balance. Christians can come your way. Why did he say that about me? Why did she say that about me? Why did she do that? Why did she act that way? I want to tell you, if you think think it's so easy to love Christians. Christians are no easier to love than sinners in many cases. You have to know in this moment that love is a challenge, but thank God we can love one another. And if you're going to love the best, then fine. But know in this moment that if you're really going to love the best, you better be able to put up with the worst, because God is saying in this hour, it's not easy. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, in that ye have love one toward another. In the midst of the church, if you think everybody walks in love and balance and beauty, you're going to get surprised. You're going to look and find out. Even if you have come a long ways, you wonder where everybody else is. Whenever you begin to serve the Lord, one of the questions will come into your mind, why doesn't anybody else? I'm the person who's the usher, nobody else wants to be. I'm the person teaching the Sunday school class, nobody else cares. Where's the authority over this department? How come that person isn't doing what they should? That other person comes in late every Sunday. I'm there early. What's wrong with this place? What's wrong with people? You have to understand, you're going to be tempted to be a judge instead of being a person who is able to say, we've come this far and we're not going to turn around. We're going to go further than this. By God's grace, we can be overcomers. He will bring me through. If you're really together, one of the greatest frustrations is you're by yourself. If you're really mature, you're going to find, where is everybody else at? And you begin to think, yakety yak, she never quits. You look at somebody else and you think, all they do is sit around and moan and groan. I want to tell you, the better off you are, the more you're looking and you're filling out report cards and C minus, D plus. I give them a passing mark because of God's grace, but they don't deserve it. They ought to fail. There's nothing there. Listen, I want to tell you, the more you grow, the more you're challenged to look at everybody else and say, what's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the saints? What's wrong with believers? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with everybody? And I want to tell you in this moment, don't look that way, but look unto him who can turn the water into wine, and he can save the marriage. He can save the relationship. He can save the church. He can save the backslider. He can save the difficult situation. He is a person who's here in this hour to make a way. He healed a marriage before it even got off the ground. Usually we get through the honeymoon before something goes wrong. Why don't you ask him that was there before the honeymoon to get into your life after you've been in that marriage for a season? Because storms come your way. But if you've understood that there is a new command that has been from the beginning, but it's a new command because he speaks it afresh and anew. Love one another. 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 It is unusual when people can be totally compatible in any relationship. A friend is hard to find, whether in marriage or outside. One of the things that I found, that what people want more than anything else is friendship. But if you're going to have friendship, you better be his friend first. Because only he is going to be the perfect friend. Only he is going to be the perfect friend. I remember the first church that I pastored in Mount Clemens, and the Lord anointed me as a young pastor, and I preached his word under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'd visit the visitors that came out. I was expecting them to say, what a great message. And they said, the people were so friendly. The people were so friendly. The people were so friendly. I thought people came because they were hungry to hear the word, because they wanted to grow, because they wanted the anointing, and to a degree they did. But people want friendship. But if you want friendship, you're in trouble already. I want to tell you, the more you want friendship, the more you are at risk, the more you are in danger, because friendship is not an easy avenue. You have to know in this moment, if I'm going to be a friend, I'm going to have to understand, I'm going to have somebody who's imperfect come into my life. Somebody that's not perfect is going to be close to me. It's going to be a potential for the friction, but by your grace, dear God, let me know that my first friendship is you. And if you're my first friend, what a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Who is my friend? My friend is Jesus. Who is my friend? My friend is Jesus. Who is my friend? My friend is Jesus. He's the only one that can say emphatically, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can trust him. He's my friend. And if he was a human friend, he would say, I'd rather live on the housetop than with you, George. If he was a human friend, he would say, I'd rather live on the housetop than with you, George. I can't stay that close to you. If he was a human friend, that's what Jesus would say. But I'm so glad he's not a human friend. And in spite of humanity, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In spite of humanity, he says, I won't be going to the housetop. I won't be dwelling at the housetop. I won't give you the rest of the house because you're so weird and strange and little ways. He would say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you, you better start thanking God for Jesus, because he can love you like nobody can love you. Like nobody can love you. Like nobody can love you. Like nobody. Like nobody. Like nobody. It's better to live, they said in the Old Testament, in their Proverbs, on a housetop, and give that woman the whole place, than to stay with a quarrelsome woman that nobody can get along with. It's better just to get a corner that's all your own. Find your own room. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment. That you love one another. We've always heard that, they could have said, but not on the level that he was saying. Because there was no escape from the love that he was speaking of. And it took him to Calvary. And he died for us, an imperfect people that he loved. In spite of our fault, in spite of our failing, in spite of all of this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, on him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. When my father gave his heart to Jesus, and we began to go to a church, and I was only about 4 years of age at that time. What my dad was disappointed with, because he was so deeply committed to Christ. I remember one Sunday we went over to the minister's house just to stop for a moment to give him something. And my dad came out disappointed. Said, it's Sunday, and he's got an electrician working on his house on Sunday. I didn't think a preacher would do that. It disappointed him. Was the preacher wrong? Who knows? But it wounded my dad. Why? Because my dad was for real. When he came to Jesus, He wanted nothing but God's will to be done. You have to understand that you answer to God, but don't judge others. Because if you judge others, it'll pull you down. And if God gives you greater insight and greater truth, thank God and embrace it. And in a world that is so casual in its experience of living in the world and in Christ at the same time, one of the things going to happen for people that are sincere is that they're going to be disappointed in saints. The man that lives on the housetop is married, and the wife is somebody he's chosen. And then he found out something that he didn't know when he chose her. Let me tell you something. You're going to find out something about people that you didn't know after you begin to appreciate them. What do? You pray for those. And you thank God if you are walking in a better path, then thank God for it. But don't boast. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Just thank God that he brought you as far as he has. And if you have seen so much of sin that you just want all you can get of God, then thank God that that is your moment of gift. Praise God for it. If you love holiness, embrace it, because not every person has the same spirit. But you're going to have to live with somebody who doesn't resonate with you as much as you desire. You can't have fellowship in the body of Christ until you begin to understand there's going to be friction, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be disappointment. But this I know, he who's begun a good work in me is going to cause the same work to be in others. And I'm going on in spite of this. I'm going to love one another, and I'm going to love even those that don't resonate with me. I'm going to love those that aren't the same mindset as me. I'm going to love because this is a new commandment that we love one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I encourage you to read the whole book. There's an old cartoon that shows the devil going forth and sending forth his servants. And he says, remember, quote lots of scriptures. Even people that are in the occult like to have a scripture hanging around. But ask God so that you can have the whole book. Ask God that you can have the whole book. Read the entire book. Don't stop with your favorite that benefits you. But go on until there's one that challenges you. And say, God, give me a clean heart. I'm going to ask you to stand in the service today. My prayer is that when God uses me, that I can be a benefit to you that are brought into his house. I thank the Lord that his word is able to work within our lives. And our first concern this moment is that there's people that are backsliders. There's people that need to get right with God. And there's people that have never fully given their heart to Christ. That is our first concern. If you're here today, may the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into all truth. May the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into all truth, because you already have some truth. But some truth can endanger you. Some people know that there's people in church that are hypocrites. That's not going to solve your problem. Some people know that there's some preachers that are in it for reasons that aren't perfect. That's not going to meet your need. Some people are knowing that not everybody is loving in the church. That's not going to be medicine for you. You need to get beyond people and get to Jesus. And if you get to Jesus, you can get back to people. But I don't know how you're going to get a relationship with people without a relationship with Jesus first. And if you got a problem in your marriage, in your family, in your home, at work, wherever it is, start with Jesus and let him lead you and guide you, and you'll have a testimony. Thank God it's different than what it was. Thank God it's different than what it was. Thank God the boss doesn't treat me as bad as he did. My husband isn't quite as bad since I got right with you, Lord. I know my children are beginning to behave a little bit better. Start with Jesus and let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. I'm going to ask those that need Jesus as Savior to come first and foremost to the front of the church at this time. I know that many of you are committed to Christ, but it doesn't mean that you're not struggling. And it doesn't mean that you haven't fallen. But he's able to lift you. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever it is that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to today, I just trust that you'll come. Some of you, there's somebody here today, you've been disappointed with Christians. You thought they were the same all the week as they are on Sunday in church. And the fact is, we're all focused on Jesus on Sunday. And that doesn't mean we're hypocrites. It just means it's easier to say amen on Sunday than it is on Monday when you're by yourself in the temptations around about, the struggles and the friction. And when you come to church and you find that, well, they're not the same otherwise, don't worry about that. It's not others. It's you that needs to get right in this moment. Start with yourself and let God do a work within you so that you can be a testimony and a light that can shine, that others can see what God has done in you and know that this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. God's not finished yet. There's somebody else that God is speaking to, and I don't want to cut it short before the Holy Spirit draws you. My first call is to the church to save saints, but the first call for all is for salvation. And I'm asking that somebody, that there's a man here that ought to come. I don't know who you are, sir, but this is your moment. God is wanting to bless you. You went out of your way to get up and to come here today, and you don't usually do that. I want God to help you. I really do. I want God to help you. I want you to realize that many times people think, well, what difference is it going to make if I go to the front? I've done that before. It hasn't. Listen. God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. And I respect the fact that you just don't leap to the front. But listen, the Holy Spirit is drawing you, sir, whoever you are this moment. I don't want you to leave here with less than what you can have. God is able to break the yoke that is upon you. He's able to deliver you. He's here in this hour. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer thee. And I will answer thee. And I will answer thee. There is an answer for you. God's got an answer. He's got an answer. He's got an answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear God. I want you to believe that today is a day that is for you. Today is a day for you. He didn't come to condemn. He came that you might be saved. He came that you might be loosed. He's God and he's able to bless.
Oh, somebody give God some praise in this place today.